Blog Talk Radio.
Joining me here on tonight. And so I would
just like to give you the numbers that's up here on the monitor, that those of you that have comments and that this program has been a blessing to you, we welcome your calls, we welcome your comments. And the number that you can call us into the station is 646-200-3074. That number, 646-200-3074. We have another number that we have allocated for our listening audience, and that number is 877-598-8654. 877-598-8654. And we welcome your calls into the station. All right, now, as you have been warned, or as you have been told time and time again as we began our program, each week we implement prayer because we know that in today's society where we live and work and play, it's vital. It is vital to our livelihood that we implement prayer. We cannot go on. We cannot exist without prayer at the top of our agenda. And so I am asking you, as always, my beautiful and loyal listeners out there in digital radio land, I would be so happy and delighted for you to just help me in prayer on tonight by bowing your heads. And I can't see you bowing your heads, but you know what? God can. And I'm just asking you, as my loyal, dedicated listeners and friends and recipients and saints of God and kinship family and all of you that has been listening thus far, I would like for you to bow your heads with me as we go into prayer. All right. Father God, we come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity once again around this spectrum, coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. We're asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word, hallelujah, to those that may or may not know you in the pardons of their sins. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, to those that are hurting deep within their souls. Father God, we ask in these petitions that we are placing before the throne of grace in your matchless name, God. And we would be so mindful to give your name the glory, to give your name the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Father's Jesus' name. And we shall all say, amen and amen. And so I just hope and pray that you had a wonderful day, a day that, you know, without any glimpse of anything, you know, any problems, any flare-ups, and that you just had a wonderful day on today. And we know that each day that God allow us to open our eyes and to stand upon our feet, that is indeed a beautiful and blessed day that was not promised to us, but it was God's grace and his mercy that he bestowed upon us. And he just touched us with his finger of love and shaken us. And he breathed the breath of life into this old mortal body. And we became a living soul. And we can stand as contestants to that fact that God breathed on us, and we are now standing of that testimony that God touched us, and we are here to talk about it. And so I would just like to just kind of minister to you in kind of a, I don't know, just, you know, kind of a gentle mode on tonight. I don't want to preach hard tonight. I just feel like just kind of being in a, just a low gear to just minister to you. And what God give me, then that's what I give you each week. As I first stated, nothing is pre-written. I don't reach and get my notes off of a shelf or anything. But what God gives me, you know, what he give me, sometimes he give me sporadic, you know, words that he want me to implement, you know, in my sermon that he want me to present to you. And so, therefore, everything that you hear that's coming from my mouth is dictated by God himself. And so I don't add anything to the word of God, and I definitely don't take away from his word. His word is a testimony that stands warranted on its own. And so everything that I bring to you each week is the divine word of God from Genesis all the way through the conclusion of Revelation. And so tonight I would like to present to you our theme, and our theme is Until Death Do Us Part. And I thought that, you know, when God gave me that, I said, Lord, you know, I don't know if that would be a good theme. You know, but whatever God give us is good anyhow, you know. Whatever God gives us, saints of God and friends and you that are out there in our listening digital audience, whatever God give unto us to present to you is never stale and never get old. It's just fresh as the morning dew. And so God gave me this. Matter of fact, this tonight, not long ago, God gave me, said, I want you to talk about the theme Until Death Do Us Part. And I'm talking about the marriages, you know, you that is married. This sermon and this theme is geared toward the marriage couple. And we know that the word of God tells us that wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. And what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now that comes from the law of Matthew 19:8. And so we find out that, you know, when you find the right man, you find the right groom, and you find the right bride, you know, this is a union that is supposed to last throughout your lifespan. This is a vow that you're going to stand. And, you know, and this is an oath that you are telling God and that you are telling man, the clergyman or the father that's going to marry you or the preacher or whoever, you know, if it's for justice of the peace, you know, whoever that you stand before, then you, it's just like a promissory note. You're promising that God and man, because we're down here on planet Earth. And so you're telling God, which is a spiritual being up in heaven, and you're telling man, which is down here on planet Earth, that you are going to take this woman to be your lawful and wedded wife. You're taking this man to be your lawful and wedded husband, to love and to cherish. To death do you part. And I can speak on that because what I bring unto you each week is self-experience. And I love to talk about things that I have knowledge of. I'm not going to bring unto you things that I don't have knowledge of, because we know that every day is a new day, is a new dawning, it's a new day of a learning experience. I've learned some things today that I didn't know yesterday. I learned some things today that I didn't know 12 hours ago. I learned some things today that I did not know 5 hours ago. So every day we are gaining new revelation on various things that we encounter and come into on our daily basics as we go to and for in this world. We're always learning new things. And so, like I said, you know, when I was married for over 10 years, and so my husband died of lung cancer. And, you know, I just, you know, was so devastated because, you know, I thought that he would be around, you know, that to see, you know, our children get grown and be young adults, you know. He just kind of met them halfway, you know. And the cancer just grew and took a hold to his body and just did not let go. And so here I am, a widow today, and it's been 12 years and counting, me being a widow. And, you know, it's not my desire to be a widow. It's not my desire. But, you know, when you take on ministry and you tell your heavenly creator, which is God, you tell him, God, I want a job, you know. I want to be a witness in your vineyard. In other words, I want to minister to the lost. I want to win souls unto the kingdom of God and for the kingdom of God. That's my promise. That's what I had told God, that I wanted him to grant me that opportunity to be able to go out and minister to the world. And so, you know, everybody needs somebody, you know. That's the reason why God saw that man did not need to be alone, and that was Adam. And so God took a rib out of Adam while he was asleep and then created him what they call a helpmeet. That's what God calls it, a helpmeet. So God gave Adam a wife to, you know, to be there to help him in what endeavors that God had for them in the Garden of Eden. But anyway, as I was saying, and, you know, I often wonder, how long will I be a widow, you know? And it's really... it's not up to me. It's really up to God, because, you know, I have sold out in this pursuit of ministry. And so, you know, I have asked God so many times, you know, God, I would love to remarry, you know, and have a another godly man, you know, in my life, you know. And I've tried to even get on different search engines on these single people trying to hook up with other single people. And, you know, and when they say Christian, you figure, well, everybody is a Christian, because that's what the words say, Christian, you know, Christian dating. But, you know, I found out that just because it says Christian doesn't mean that the person, him or herself, is a Christian. because they still might have old habits. And what I mean by old habits is you're still going to the Jew joint. You're still going to the clubs. You're still going to the topless bar. You're still drinking. You're still smoking. You're still cheating. You're still lying. And so how can you be a Christian if you have those traits still, embedded inside of your heart? So, I one time got on there and, was just really just messing around, And God told me to get off. God told me to get off of there. And so me being the obedient child that I am, I removed myself. Because God let me know that when he get ready, not when I get ready, but when God get ready to present unto me that ideal man of God, because when we get married, we have our preferences, the reason we get married. A lot of times we're supposed to get married. The real reason that we get married is because we love the individual. We love the man, and the man's supposed to love the woman. But now we see in our 21st century that, people marry because of money. They say, well, hey, if I marry this guy, I'll be set for life. I won't never want for anything. And then they set out to, try to hook the man by bearing him a child, he might be well over age of childbearing, but if the if the woman is young and she can still bear children, then she'll try to bear him a son or daughter to keep his name going, as an heir, and to also you can recoup money from the marriage. But the real reason that we are to get married is for love. It's because we love that person and we respect that person from whom he or she is. And it's not really supposed to be a money issue. That should come with the package. Those are the incentives. Those are the incentives. The money, the house, the cars, if you've already got those things, then those are the incentives that you can fall heir to as being a bride. But we find out that Paul believed that the husband needed dominated the household, and that the wife existed to fulfill his need and to serve him. Now, we also see that Christians' view was quite different. However, women were seen as persons of equal worth. The wife was to transform from an accessory to a person of intrinsic value. Now, becoming the focus of her husband's concern instead of demanding that she live for him, she was to serve him. Now we read in the law of Ephesians 5:25. Now portrays Christ as loving the church and giving himself for her. And verse 29 indicates that Jesus, hallelujah, nourish and cares for her. As husband pursued Christ likeness, they have the privilege and duty to sacrifice, nurture, and care for their wives. All right. Now, we can also go into the law of Proverbs 5 describes that a father instructs to his son for living a moral life. He warns his son about staying away from the snares of sin. Specifically, the sin of adultery to combat his temptation. Hallelujah. He counseled his son to employ two defensive weapons, namely wisdom, number one, and understanding. And it says that first the father counseled that practicing wisdom mean not listening to the smooth-talking adulteress, verse 3. In fact, not only should the son not listen to her, he should avoid going near her. Come not now the door of her house, verse 8. Following her may bring temporary pleasure, but will it come anxiety, anguish, sin, and destruction? For those who are committed to walking in the path of righteousness, however, is a glorious future with Jesus Christ. Therefore, his father warns, beware of smooth talkers and remember the words of wisdom taught by God's word. Then the second verse, 15-17, set definite boundaries for maintaining fidelity in our marriages and commitment to our families. These verses instruct us to seek sexual fulfillment exclusively, hallelujah, with our spouse within the bonds of marriage. To seek satisfaction elsewhere would be to insult God's wisdom and his plan. Now, in order for family's values to become a reality, wisdom and insight must play a vital role in the life of the family. Not only must we verbalize rules and guidelines to family members, but we must model these precepts in our lives on a daily basis. With the power of God's Spirit, we will be able to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in our families. Perhaps we may apply a paraphrase of Matthew 5:16 to our families. Let your light so shine before your spouse and children that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And as they witness our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, hopefully they will too, will be drawn to him and accept his gift of eternal life. Now we know that when we get married, we are supposed to stay with that partner. Now I'm not talking about abuse relationship. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in marriage only. That's all I'm talking about tonight, is marriage. You know, now if you find some things that is not going right with you and your mate, then your job is to pray and ask God to, you know, smooth things out, give y'all discernment on what to do, you know, because going to these marriage counselors and all of that, you know, we're supposed to seek counsel from God himself. That's where we are supposed to seek spiritual counseling. And so you are not to be looking and all by, eyeballing another man or the wife eyeballing another, the husband eyeballing another woman or the wife another man. Because God had gave you your mate. And so y'all are now joined as one. And so, you know, that, like I said, that was your commitment, was to stay with that wife and that husband, the one that you swore on with your hand on the Bible. You had your hand on the Bible and you swore by the Bible that to God you was going to take this woman to be your lawful and wedded wife. And wife, you was going to take this man to be your lawful and wedded husband. to death do you part. Now, that's the only way that you are to separate. To death do you part, you know. Now, you know, I would read, you know, the column, you know, they'd have in the column, and sometimes on one of the stations, I don't know if it's still, you know, if they, I imagine it probably still is airing somewhere around the globe, but it used to be a show, I don't know if that was, it might have been Regency, Kathy and Regency, or Regency and the other young lady that was on there hosting the show. They would set out and hunt for the couple that had been married, had a long marriage, longevity. Some of the marriages that he had shined the light on was individuals that had been married 50 years. That was a birthday. They was me talking about, I guess, some of the people that had reached, you know, way up in age, I think 80, 90, 100 year of age. But, no, that's not what I was talking about. I thought that was marriages, but that was birthdays. So I'm so sorry. But anyway, getting to back to the marriage. You find out in, the wedding column of the newspaper where there are couples that had been married, you know, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. You know, that's a long time. That's a long time in a marriage. You know, you be in a union together. That's a long time. And you know, when you're in a marriage, even if you don't, even, you know, there are some of us that has not reached the age of 70. So therefore, we can't really talk about a marriage in the 70, in the 70 year of a marriage, because we have not been there. We have just read about it, you know. We probably have relatives that has been married, you know, to their spouses for that length of time. We might have relatives and friends and know someone that has been married in those years. But, you know, for the most part, you know, just a regular marriage that's a 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 25 years of marriage, you know, we can really gear toward that, is that when you've been married a certain amount of time, you get to know your mate, you get to know your wife, and the wife get to know the husband and his sleep pattern, and, you know, and you know when he's, what he want, when he wants some water, you know, well, I think, you know, my husband needed some water, so, you know, you may go and get him a glass of water, you know, if it's hot and humid, you know, or if you feel like, you know, he's not feeling well, or, you know, if you just want to do that, just being a loving wife, and you want to go and get him a glass of water, you know, that is so beautiful and so refreshing, and, you know, God welcomes that kind of love of a couple. God loves that, you know, and God still loves it when the man takes the initiative to open the door for his wife. That's his queen. That's his woman, you know. And even though we find that in the 21st century, sometimes that seems old folky, that seems old-fashioned, and that seems out of date. But, you know, if it worked for Grandma Day, it works for us right here and right now. It works for you in your marriage. It worked for me in my marriage. I love my husband dearly. I loved him. And I told him I loved him. And I showed him that I loved him. And so when you love your husband, you show your husband that you love him by doing nice things. Not because, you know, you feel like you're being a slave. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about being the wife that God wants us to be. Not the wife of the world. We are in Christ. And so I'm talking about the wife that's in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about the husband that's in Christ Jesus. That's who I'm talking about on tonight. And so, you know, your wife might fall asleep. And maybe she fell asleep on the sofa. And so she's sleeping in an awkward position. Maybe her head need to be propped in a certain position, you know, where the blood would flow freely, you know, and wouldn't give her a headache, you know, or what have you, or maybe wouldn't make her neck and shoulders sore the next morning. And so rather to wake her up, you might wake her up and say, baby, come to bed, you know. You, this is your option. This is your wife. So, you know, whatever God leads you to do. You said, well, baby, you've fallen asleep. Maybe she fell asleep, you know, reading or listening to the radio or looking at the television. Or y'all maybe looked at a movie together and she fallen asleep during the, you know, during the process of you looking at a movie. And then you got ready to go to bed and yet she fallen asleep on the sofa. So you awaken your wife and say, baby, come to bed, honey. You know, you fell asleep. And she said, okay, honey. And she gets up and she get ready to get her, you know, night clothes on or her negligee or her pajamas or whatever she wants to wear, you know. And she get ready to go to bed. And so those are just some nice gestures, you know. Maybe saying, you know, taking a day, well, you know, darling, I tell you what, you won't have to cook on a certain day, you know, because I'm going to take you out to eat. You know, those are just beautiful gestures of a husband, you know, to ask his wife, you know, and tell her, baby, you know, you after Sunday, you don't have to cook Monday because I'm carrying you out to dinner, you know. I'm going to accompany you, and we're going to go out, and we're going to just sit and talk and chat and enjoy one another's company. You know, those are marriages that, you know, it's kind of like a marriage made in heaven. We still have those marriages that exist. I mean, it looks like that they are not out there, but they are. They are marriages that people that is in a blissful marital relationship. And so, you know, don't let the enemy knock you out of your wife. Don't let the enemy knock you out of your husband. Because God gave you that husband. God gave you that wife. And although, you know, we may have some, you know, we might have some things that, you know, we haven't overcome yet. But just be patient. Just be patient with one another, you know. And with the help of God, with prayer and supplication, your marriage will be the ideal marriage that you want it to be. And people will just stand back and look at your marriage in awe. Oh, man, they got a beautiful marriage, you know. Oh, man, he's got just a terrific wife, you know. Oh, man, and the woman would say, oh, she's got a terrific husband, you know. I want my husband to be like that. Well, you're not trying to mimic anyone. But, you know, if you got a marriage or you know somebody, that marriage is just, I mean, just beautiful and vibrant, and you desire that, then it's things that you can do. You can make your marriage what you desire it to be. And you don't have to, you know, have anybody to come in and try to tear what God has put together, try to tear it apart. Because we know, saints and friends, and you that are out there in our listening digital audience, that the adversary, and we know who our adversary is, and his name is Satan. And you know his ultimate quest every day is to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says that he came that we might have life and that we might have life more abundantly. And so I'm going to keep on reading and, you know, because I know time is running on. I mean, the clock is steady ticking. So I'm going to try to get as much in as I possibly can because I'm just coming, like I said, down on the download tonight in a low key just to encourage you on your marriage, you know. Stay in your marriage. Don't let a woman come in to showing all of her breast, all of her buttock, and all of that trying to entice you, you know, into some sexual act with her carrying her to the hotel, to the motel, you know, out to the park, you know, out to Lover's Lane. You know, don't let the devil deceive you like that. And wives, don't let a man, because he may be a man chauvinist, but don't let the man come at you, you know, in all his physique and muscles and all of that, and, you know, try to get you out of your marriage by committing adultery, you know, because, you know, one night of pleasure could cost you a lifetime of pain, could cause you a lifetime of pain. And so don't let his looks deceive you, because what this man is in your face about, you got that same thing at home. You know, so I would advise you to act your age and not your shoe size. Stay in your marriage. Make your marriage work. And if it's not working to your liking or your desire, then pray. Prayer always changes things. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes places. Prayer changes things. So I would desire you to pray to God to help you in those areas where there are need. There is a need. I would advise you to pray. So moving right along. In this discourse with the disciples, Jesus delivered their marching. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. That is not where I was supposed to be. All right. Give me just a second to get where I need to be. I'm so sorry. All right. Now, we see that during a wedding ceremony, a couple made a mutual promise and vow. This outward demonstration of commitment became the cornerstone of the marriage, and that's what I was talking about earlier. Through the years, as the marriage blossomed, the promises of covenant made with the repeatedly tested as the couple faced not only life joy, but also life problems. Because we know that there's going to be problems in every marriage, but problems can be worked out. And we know that there are going to be problems, there are going to be obstacles that will surely come. We know that. And so, ooh, my time is just running. I'm telling you, my time is just running. So anyway, I'm going to try to kind of make it kind of swift here. But it says that the vows made at the altar before God and humanity should not be entered into lightly, but with a true desire to do everything humanly possible to make the marriage work. Certainly one should not enter into a marriage with the idea that if it does not work, or if circumstances become unbearable, a divorce can be easily obtained. This fail-safe attitude, which has become increasingly more prevalent today, is one reason why so many marriages have ended in divorce. The promise made amidst deep emotions, and we see that it's often shattered by storms of unforeseen circumstances. And the survival of the American family is dependent on couples with a strong sense of commitment to build up the cornerstone of their marriage vows. Building and maintaining a marriage and family on solid ground takes more than a microwave mentality. It takes individuality, perseverance, and grounding in God's word. With statistics reflecting that over half of all marriages today last less than 10 years, couples must look to more than the physical and material aspect to keep their marriage intact. We find that Paul's underlining theme in this discussion of marriage is that the marriage must be Christ-centered. It's got to be, saints and friends. It's got to be a Christ-centered marriage. And even though we know the storm cloud may roll in, and we know that tempers may flare, feelings may be hurt, misunderstanding may arise, and daily pressure of work and children may seem just too much to bear at times. But whatever the situation, whatever the problem, Jesus alone can provide the resource to solve them. Without Jesus as the silent partner in the marriage, Jesus, we know, is the mediator in the conflict and disagreements, and he's the comforter. Excuse me. In times of hurt and despair, the marriage may very well crumble. But with Jesus at the head of our household and the center of our marriage, we can surely weather the storm, rejoice in good times, and remain true to the promise made before God, until death do you part. And so I'm gonna just come before you just a little bit further, because I know that the clock is ticking and I don't have very long, but I'm going to try to wrap it up with this here last reading. So we know that in a marriage geared toward until death do us part, that was our sermon on tonight, until death do us part, you have sworn under oath with your hand on the Bible that you was going to be in this marriage to this man, to this woman, to death do you part. So I'm going to try to bring this before you real quickly, real quickly. Now, we know that in this 21st century and in this society that we're living in, and we know that this society is struggling, and we struggle every day for equality of the sexes, and we find that in 1 Peter 3 and 1 through 12 may seem obsolete at first glance. But we say on a closer study, however, that the passage seemed a natural continuation of the teaching of the New Testament church on the power of love to bring God's people together. Now, wives and husbands are urged to love and respect each other. Hallelujah. Wives are urged to submit, to recognize their husband's role as head of the house. The wife is urged to live a pure and reverent life as a means of winning her husband to a saving relationship with Christ Jesus. Moreover, husbands are admonished to be considerate of and thoughtful toward their wives and give honor to them. This teaching does not suggest that one partner or another possesses inferior or superior status. It does stress that husband and wife should serve one another with love and humanity. We find that the Christian family are urged to have compassion one to another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. We find that in the law of Peter 3 and 8 through 9, these are words of refreshing gentleness and flexibility in a world where all too often people seek revenge and retaliation. Now, a significant difference can be made in our society if members of families would determine to begin to practice forgiveness, reconciliation, and love one for another rather than to carry on practice of abuse, denominations, and retaliation. And we would like to pray on those truths. And I would like for you to bow your head with me in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have deepened our love for each other. We praise you for all the joy of our home and family. Help us to practice love instead of hatred, to reconcile rather than retaliate, to exemplify all that is Christ-like in our homes, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And I want you to keep your marriage in the pleasing eyesight of God. Don't let a devil in hell. Don't allow demon outside of hell to tear down what God has put together. Stay in that marriage. If you got a good husband, stay with that good husband. Be by his side. Pray with him. Cry with him. Enjoy one another while he's yet living. Enjoy your wife, your beautiful wife that God has given unto you, unto your bosom. Cherish her, for she is more precious than rubies, pearls, diamonds. She is priceless. Love her. God given her unto you. Love her and cherish her. To death do you part. Don't let a devil in hell. Don't let a devil outside of hell tear up your happy home. There are vipers out there waiting to get your husband, to catch him off guard. Ready to get your bride, your wife, to catch her off guard. But we find that in prayer and supplications, that a home that prays together, hey, is a home that stays together. God will keep, God said in his word, that those who keep their mind anchored and stayed on me, I will keep you in perfect peace. So we know that long as we keep our mind stayed on God, God will keep us in perfect peace. God will give us discernment. God will give us warning before destruction. So I would just like to say in ending the show on tonight, I hope and pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and to impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. Bye for now. And we will let the music take it out. Have a beautiful day. God bless you until we meet again. Bye for now.
It keeps setting my soul on fire. Whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, don't let me.
Lord, 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 that I didn't do. Oh, listen.